You're listening to the Sabina Road Baptist Sermon Series. We hope this message greatly impacts your life. For more information on the mission and ministries of Sabina Road Baptist Church in Tucson, Arizona, visit us online at sabinaroad.org.
Last week we talked about our purpose in life. And again, I'm gearing this toward two people. There's two people in the room. Some of you have accepted Christ as your Savior. You know God in a personal way. This is going to be a lot of affirmation for you, confirmation for you. This is going to help you with what do you tell people about the Christian faith. But the other person here is someone that's never had that personal walk with God. And so let me at the outset say that whatever we talk about today, this was designed or created for you, all of us, no matter who we are. We were designed, created, born on this earth for one purpose. Just like Adam was created, we were created to walk with God. If we're not walking with God on a daily basis, on a personal, constant, consistent basis, man, we're going to be off kilter. So when things hit our lives, good things, bad things, neutral things, whatever it is, sometimes we can get blown around. In fact, the Bible says a lot of times that unstable man is just on shifty sand. But we weren't created to be like that. We were created to walk with God. That's why Adam was created. That's why you and I are created. So far, so good? I'm going to teach more today, so if you have questions, shout them out. We'll be glad to work toward that. By the way, last week I had you on your prayer cards write down some questions that you would like answered about the Christian faith. And most of those had to deal with, how to overcome sin, how do I be a better Christian, how do I live out my faith, things like that. So over the next few weeks, we'll be looking at that. Be pretty basic teaching times with you. Does this make sense? Is this good for you? Let me repeat that. Is this okay with you guys? Does that sound good to you? All right. So, walking with God, that's our purpose. Now, I just led you in that ACTS acronym. That's adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and submission. Do that in the morning. A lot of people say, well, how do you have a walk with God? How do you spend time with God? You put aside everything that you got. You turn your cell phone off, you go to a quiet place, and you meet with God. You ask Him to come and meet with you. Now, how do we find out about God? We'll go to a scripture and start reading scripture, and then start listening for Him. You can read a verse and say, wow, Lord, I didn't know this before about you. And then start talking to Him. By the way, talking to Him is what we call it prayer. It's an interaction between God and us. You don't have to go through a priest. You don't have to go through a bishop or anything like that. You can go straight to your Creator and say, help me, here I am. I want to know what you're all about. By the way, you guys ready for this? You were created to do that. That's your job. You were created to do that. Now, I know that we all work jobs and we live till we're 70 or 80 and we get the gold watch and we have good kids and all this kind of stuff. None of that. You were created for. You were created to walk with God. Everything else comes as a consequence of you walking with God. Y'all get this? Don't put the cart before the horse. I love my beautiful wife. She doesn't enjoy the things I do for her as much as she enjoys me being with her. Y'all with me? Same with God. God's not impressed by all the neat things that we do. He's impressed by our obedience and our submission to Him. So in the morning, you want to know how to please God? You say, Lord, here I am. Let's spend some time together. God is jumping rope at that point. Do you guys know that? He's a foot off the ground. When you say, I want to communicate with you today, He's going, yes! That's why I put you on the earth. That's why I made you. Thousands of years ago, I knew that this day would come. Let's meet together. Isn't that cool? Guys, Christianity is the only religion on earth that has a God like that. We don't have to blow ourselves up. We don't have to act like crazy people. We go before God and say, I trust you. I love you. I was created to spend time with you. Let's meet. He's happy at that point. That's what he wants out of us. So our job is to walk with God. I want you to do this walk when you're at your very best. And let me explain. A lot of times we say, do this in the morning. And the reason why we say to have a, I don't know if I want to call it a quiet time, a time with God. Let's call it time with God. We say put it in the morning because that starts your day. A lot of you, if you work different times, maybe you get off work at 6 or 7 a.m. and you're not at your best. So meet with God when you're at your best. Sometimes that's in the afternoons or evenings or mornings, whatever. How's that sound? Pretty good? But set time aside. You are in charge of setting time aside in your schedule to meet with God. The Bible says in Revelation 3:20, I'm standing at the door. I'm waiting for you to open the door so I can come in and talk with you and spend time with you. In fact, the old version is sup with you, have supper, relax with you, be with you, and so forth. So far, so good? Y'all with me?
Yes.
Whose job is it to bring God into our lives?
Ours.
It's ours. It's ours. Now, here's the cool part. God is always there. Do you know where he is? Right there. He is waiting for us to turn to him. But we must turn to him. Y'all follow me? When we get in a tight situation, don't just hope that something good will come out of it. You're in a tight situation for one purpose, to draw closer to God. And God's right there. He is waiting for us to say, Lord, yeah, I'm right here. I'm right here. Y'all get this? Isn't it funny how they've done studies before on people's last words before they die? By the way, it's not a four-letter word. It's a three-letter and a five-letter word. What's the last word that most people say before they die at the moment of death? Anyone? God and Jesus. You were created to have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Nothing of significance then happens to us but to draw us closer to him. Good things, bad things, neutral things, it doesn't matter. We were drawn to him. So have that relationship. Now, throughout the day, it is up to us to put God in our lives throughout the day. It can be quite easy at times to set time aside. That's why I mentioned something about Thanksgiving. Most of us didn't have to work on Thursday, or a lot of us didn't have to work on Friday. We went to the park, which we usually don't do. We saw the ducks. My two boys were playing football, and one of them then ran into the lake, Brock, into this lake with his shoes on and everything, and it was pretty funny. Why were we at the park? We usually don't have time to go to the park. I'm usually working, everyone else is working, and so forth. So when you're on holiday, you're on the mountaintop, woohoo, and you kind of think of God, especially Thanksgiving. You think of God, you think of things of godly consequence, and so forth. I hope you didn't miss this opportunity to bring God into your life over the last few days. How many of you at Thanksgiving dinner gave thanks and praise the Lord for what he's giving you? Raise your hands. Yeah, of course. These neat times with God are possible a lot of times because we have the opportunity, the time to put God in because we're not working. Sometimes it's easy to do that. Sometimes it's hard. Let me ask another question. Whose job is it to put God in our lives? It's ours. Starting tomorrow, we all go back to work, or we all get back in our routine. It is up to you to put God in your life, not just at 6 a.m. or not just at 7 p.m., but throughout the day. Back to that ACTS acronym that we talked about. Worship God, meet with God, using that adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and submission part. But then put Him throughout the day in your plan. At 10 o'clock, submit to Him again. At noon, confess. At 3, thanksgiving, and so forth. Y'all with me? You set time aside from 10 o'clock to 10:10 and put down there submission. At lunch, don't just thank God for the food and yay God, but thank Him for everything that He's done. At 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, confess your sins. Put that on your calendar. Write it down on an index card and keep it in your pocket. You put God in your life. Wow. That is a $1 million sermon right there. That's it. That's it. Do you guys understand that?
Yeah.
What I just told you is why you are created. Pastor, I wish I could do whatever you're going to say next. You're created to have that kind of a lifestyle every day. That's it. Meet with God. Whose job is it to meet with God? Yours. Now He sends things our way to say, hey, I'm here. Turn to me. Look this way. He sends things our way, but it's still up to us, isn't it, to say, yes, Lord, I invite you in. Tomorrow, neat things are going to happen to some of you. You're going to find some money somewhere. Your grandkids are going to call you. I don't know. Your wife's going to say, you look good today, honey. Something good's going to happen tomorrow. How do you respond to that? Thank you, Lord. After you say, thanks, honey, because I know you're going to say that to me. Thanks, honey. Thank you, Lord. Some of you bad things are going to happen to you tomorrow. I don't know, you're going to slip and fall. Someone's going to say something irritating to you. Whatever. Why do those things happen in our lives? To draw us closer to God. Every time that a situation comes to us that we do not draw closer to God as a result of it, we've missed an opportunity. We've missed an opportunity. Yeah, but I got a hard test. Yeah, give it to God. Now that doesn't mean give it to God and then sit around. Still got to study for it. Doesn't mean, the car's broken. I'll just pray that God starts my car. You got to fix it. But He sends you these opportunities to trust you, or trust Him. He's not looking for you to figure things out. He's looking to you to look to Him. Amen? Walk with God. Now, how do we become walkers with God? It's going to be pretty easy. It's going to lead you right through it. This is kind of a witnessing sermon. Remember these things, guys, because a lot of people will ask these things. This is our Christian faith. If in the middle of this you're going, I never heard that before, then we need to talk afterwards. Because this is our whole Christian faith as it comes. You guys ready for point number one? Turn to 1 John 3:1. 1 John 3:1. First point is, God loves us. God loves us. And we were created to have an ongoing friendship with God. Look at 1 John 3:1. By the way, 1 John, who wrote 1 John? John, good job, you guys. Excellent. 1 John is called the book of fellowship. It talks about how the church is supposed to be with one another. It's a fellowship book. It's a really neat book. 1 John 3:1. See what an incredible quality of love the Father has shown to us, that we would be permitted to be named and called and counted the children of God. And so we are. And for this reason, the world does not know us because it did not know Him. What's the verse saying? What's the verse saying? By the way, your knees should be shaking at this point. You should be going, what? The God of the universe, who spoke everything into existence just like that, who didn't pay a thing for anything in the universe, loves you. You were created for one purpose, to be with Him. I love Mount Lemmon. You guys know I rode the bike down Tuesday and Thursday. Then I rode up Mount Lemmon on Thursday last week. Oh, I love it. Next week, I bet you we're going to have snow up there. It's going to get cold and snow. Oh, isn't it great? How much did it cost God to make Mount Lemmon? Zilch. He spoke it into existence. The beautiful deer that we see frolicking around in the meadows. The flowers. What's the most incredible organic thing you can think of? Think of it. Got it in your mind? He paid nothing for it. What is the one thing that He paid for? You. You. Do you understand God loves you? You don't have to buy His acceptance. You receive it. He created you for one purpose. Be with me. Be with me. He loves us first and foremost. In fact, there's other scriptures that say, before you were born, in other words, thousands of years ago, I knew what you were to do. Before you even formed in your mom's womb. Isn't that awesome? Again, guys, this is different than any other religion on earth. We are not here to serve our God. We're here to love Him and obey Him. Out of that, then we serve correctly. He loves us. We don't have to prove it. We just say, yes, Lord, I love you. Isn't that cool? All right, second thing. God loves us. But secondly, we've sinned. We've sinned. Go to Romans 3:23. Romans 3:23. Now, there's a holy God. He created all of the universe. He loves us. We were created to be with Him. But a holy God, wow. How can he be with sin? How can He be with something that's wrong? How can He be with something that's sinful and dreadful? And look at Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. The first sin that we see in the scriptures, if you go back to Genesis chapter 3, if you remember the serpent, the devil, the enemy, came and offered Eve some fruit. And Eve said, that looks pretty good. Not just physically, but remember the serpent said, man, if you eat this, you'll be like God. It was a prideful sin. And so she ate it, gave it to Adam. And the two of them sinned. Now, do you understand what happened next? Why were Adam and Eve created? To walk with God. What did God do every afternoon? He walked with them in the garden. That day, God comes into the garden, and what do Adam and Eve do? They hide. Why? They're ashamed. They've sinned. There's something wrong here between me and you. There's something wrong between me, a sinful person, and you, a holy God. There's something not right. Yesterday we were good. We were hugging and loving on each other. Today there's something wrong. Something's come between us. It's sin. It's sin. And God says, hey, where are you guys? Where are you guys? It's our time to be together. And Adam says, well, we were hiding because we've sinned. Who told you that? What's going on? What happened here? And sin has gotten in the way. Point number three. Turning your Bibles, if you're in Romans, just a couple of pages over to Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. How in the world can we reach God? How in the world can we have that walk with God as a sinful person? God's holy, pure. He's all loving, all truth, all everything. How can we, a sinful man, propose to walk with God? And we can't. We just can't. Except the payment of sin is death, Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God, that is, His remarkable, overwhelming gift of grace to believers, is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. We have a debt to pay. We've done wrong things. Who do you think is going to pay that price? We do. We pay that price. Who in the world, if we're not going to pay it, how in the world can we get through to God? How can we touch God? How can we be with God if we have this sin in our lives? By the way, you Christians, you know that when you do evil, when you do wrong, when you sin, you're going to be doing somersaults inside you. That's the Spirit. Again, what does the Spirit convict you of? Your broken relationship with God. Don't just repent of the actions that you're doing with your hands. Don't repent of the actions. I'll do better not to do this again. All repentance goes through the heart, and that's between you and God. That's your walk. That's your relationship. I've talked to several people over the last couple of weeks about, man, I keep doing the same things, and every time I do it, I say, I'm not going to do this again. Yet, quit trying to do the thing and stop doing that. You got a heart problem. Get with God. Father, I keep doing this thing. Can you change my heart? Can I trust you? Why do I keep having this sin issue? And guys, you're going to keep having that sin issue as long as you try with your hands to be really strong and stop it. You must get back to God. My walk with God. Y'all follow me? You with me?
Yes.
Your hands, your actions, your behavior follows your heart. Follows your heart. Don't try to change your behavior, change your heart. Get right with God. The wages of sin is death. Number four, aren't you glad that the sermon doesn't end there? But number four, Jesus willingly paid for our sin debt. Now turn back over to Romans 5:6. Romans 5:6. By the way, you that know what I'm doing, this is called the Romans Road. This is what we used to call, this is how we would witness to people using the scriptures. We'd use what's called the Romans Road. There's four or five verses that you use in the book of Romans. What church was the book of Romans written to? Church at Rome. Good job. Bob Bedell got it right. Good job. While we were still, chapter 5, verse 6, while we were still helpless, powerless to provide for our salvation at the right time, Christ died as what? A substitute. He steps in for me. How in the world am I going to pay for my sin? I can't be good enough to pay for my sin. What I mean is this. As hard as I try with my hands, as hard as I try to change my behavior, we all mess up, don't we? We all mess up. By the way, a lot of people say, how can God do whatever? How can He allow these things to happen in our world? We're in a sinful world. Whose problem is that? Mine. Yours. Don't blame God for things that happen in this world. That's on us. Who pays for this sin debt that we have? Jesus. Look at verse 8. But God clearly shows and proves His own love for us by the fact that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. What does that mean? It means you don't have to clean yourself up to come to God. Y'all follow me? Listen to me now. Listen. It means that you can come to God as gross and filthy and derelict as you possibly can with one thing that's there. A turned heart. Okay, Lord, I hate myself and what I'm doing and what I can't do. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to follow you. You don't have to clean yourself up and then come to God. You come to God and say, will you clean me up? I trust you. I love you. I follow you. Y'all with me? Isn't this a great God? Awesome God. Yes, ma'am.
Can I come to Jesus even if I think I'm already cleaned up?
Can I come to Jesus even though I think I'm already cleaned up? Wow. That's a good one. When you come to Jesus, there's one thing that has to be there. And that is what we call repentance. That's something that we say, whatever we've been doing has been wrong, which means there has to be some acknowledgement of that. And I want to change my direction. I'm tired of where I'm going. I'm tired of trying to figure this out myself. I'm going to change direction and trust God. Y'all with me on that? Now, today, in a lot of churches, we like to preach this kind of a fun, kind of give Jesus a shot mentality. Hey, have you tried Jesus? Give him a shot. Maybe he'll work for you. No. If Jesus is one of your options in life, you're not there yet. He needs to be the only option. By the way, some of you guys, if you're prideful, if you think you got the world by the tail, man, right now that could be true. But down the road, there's going to be something that hits you that you're going to have no idea what to do with. No idea. And then you're going to cry out, Lord, what now? For Becca and me, it was my son's cancer. For you, it's losing a job. Whatever. Y'all with me? Follow me. Follow me. Because God is pursuing you. Do you know where he is? It's right here. Right here. He is waiting for you to say, oh, Lord. And he's right there. He is waiting for you. He's waiting for you to turn and say, I will trust you. I will trust you. You guys remember this from one of the sermons several weeks ago. Our job is to trust. His job is to work. His job is to work. I'm ready. You're in a tough spot. You don't know what to do. I'm ready to go. Just call me. I'm right here. And then we give it to him. Lord, I can trust you. Oh, isn't that great? Let's keep going. Verse 9. Therefore, since we have all been justified, declared free of the guilt of sin by his blood, how much more certain is it that we will be saved from the wrath of God through him? What does that mean? The wrath of God? God hates sin. God hates sin. We can't come to God and say, look at all the good things I'm doing. Yeah, but look at all the sin in our lives. Have you ever heard that phrase of covered by the blood of Christ? All the nasty, gross, icky things that we do, the sin that we produce in our lives, we can't hide that. There's one thing that covers it. That's the blood of Christ. In fact, the Bible says that when we confess our sins to him, when we ask forgiveness of him, he washes that clean. My dad was a preacher. One of my favorite stories, phrases that he would have. The Bible says that he throws the sin as far as the east is from the west. When I would sin, it's like Satan keeps that right in front of my face. Don't you remember what you did yesterday? You pitiful, dirty guy. And constantly, just over and over and over. And my dad used to say, have you repented of that? Have you turned full circle saying, Lord, oh, take this away. I repent. I want to go in a new direction. I'm going to trust you. Have you done that? Yes, sir. Then every time this comes back in your face and you go back to God and say, oh, Lord, this sin, will you forgive me? You're saying, God, I didn't trust you the first time. Will you forgive me this time? If he's forgiving you, he's forgiving you. So it's almost as if you say, oh, Lord, that sin. I don't know what you're talking about. You confessed it yesterday and it's done. Now move on. Oh. Oh. We don't work hard for our forgiveness of sin. We trust hard. Y'all with me? It's not up to us. It's his doing. Father, forgive me. Isn't this a neat God? It gets better. It gets better as we go on. The next step. Go to Romans chapter 10. So flip on over a couple of chapters to Romans chapter 10. To avoid this sin debt of death, we must accept God's gift and take Jesus as our Savior. Romans 10 verse 9 through 13. Because if you acknowledge and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, recognizing his power and his authority and majesty as God, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, then you'll be saved. Let's read that back. If you want to be saved, if you want to have a right relationship with God, believe in your heart that Jesus is God and that He was raised from the dead. That's what that says. If you can trust the scriptures there, that's exactly what He's talking about. If you will trust me, if you will believe in me, I'll save you. Next verse, 10. For with the heart a person believes in Christ as Savior, resulting in his justification, that is, being made righteous, being freed of the guilt of sin, and made acceptable to God. And with the mouth he acknowledges and confesses his faith openly, resulting in and confirming his salvation. What does it say, resulting in and confirming? It means when God's changed your life, the fruits of your life are evident. You've made a change. There's something different about you. You're not like everyone else. That doesn't mean you're superior. It means you got a superior God that's with you all the time, every step of the way. And when things hit you, God is able to work with you through that. Isn't that awesome? I didn't say your walk with God is free of all the difficulties of life. No, you still got every single one that everyone else faces. The difference is Jesus is with you. You turn to Him and say, are you there? I'm right here. I can trust you, can I? You bet. You know exactly what's happened. I sure do. Trust me. Follow me. Be with me. Three things and we're done. That's called the Romans Road. Why do we need a Savior? Those 5 points. We're sinful. We can't pay for our debt. Jesus loves us. God loves us. Sent His Son. We accept His gift of true life, eternal life. He pays the penalty for our sin, which He did a couple thousand years ago on that cross. Jesus lived a perfect life without sin, ever without sin. He is the one guy in the world that can pay the penalty that we can't. And so we trust Jesus. We believe that God is in three parts. There's a God the Father, there's a God the Son, Jesus, and then there's the God the Holy Spirit. Jesus said while He was walking this earth, I'm going to leave now, I'm going to go back up to heaven physically in form, I'm going back, but I'm sending the Spirit with you. He's the one that encourages us, that helps us confess. He irritates us at times when we have sin in our lives. But we trust God in all things. Let me give you three really good results of this decision. Number one, this decision that we make, results in peace, joy, and hope. If you're still in Romans, go to chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. And the first couple of verses. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, that is, acquitted of sin and declared blameless before God, let us grasp the fact that we have peace with God and the joy of reconciliation with Him, being back together with Him through our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Through Him we also have access by faith into this remarkable state of grace in which we firmly and safely and securely stand. I love those three words. You guys hear that? Firmly, securely, safely. Are you standing that way? No matter what happens, are you standing firm and safe and secure? You can in that relationship with Jesus. You can. If you don't have Jesus, you're not going to be firm. You're not going to be secure. You're not going to stand whole. Only through Jesus. Through Him, we also have access by faith. Let us rejoice in our hope and the confident assurance of experiencing and enjoying the glory of our great God. Second thing I want you to know, this decision that we make, it results in forgiveness, pardon, absolution, freedom, liberty. This decision that we make, you must say yes to God. Romans 8:1, therefore there is now no condemnation, no guilty verdict, no punishment for those who are in Christ Jesus who believe Him as personal Savior and Lord. What did I just say? Personal Savior and Lord. He's not the guy on the cross at the church. He lives in you, where you are. He is with you tomorrow at 9 o'clock. He's with you Tuesday night at 5:30. He is with you. You don't have to come to the building to see Him. It's a good place to come, though. He's with you wherever you are. The Spirit's in your heart when you accept Him as Savior. Oh, no matter where you go, He's with you. Finally, the last thing. This decision that you make results in a fervent, intentional, powerful, exciting, and effective walk with God. We started this sermon out by saying, man, isn't it amazing? The God of the universe wants to have a relationship with you. Not just any relationship. Remember, Jesus said, I didn't just come to give you life. What did He say? Abundant life. That word in the Greek is overflowing. It's crazy. It's enriching. It's unbelievable. Look at Romans 8:37. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors and gain an overwhelming victory through Him who loved us so much that He died for us. Ooh. It's been a long time since I've preached a sermon like this. Been praying for it for a couple of weeks. There are two people that need to hear this sermon. If you're a Christian, if you're a follower, if you're a believer, if you've accepted Christ in your heart at some point, and you know that the Spirit is in you, I'm praying that the things that we talked about today will remind you of the relationship that He paid for you. Don't take this as an easy kind of a walk in the park with God. No, the God of the universe paid the ultimate price, sent His Son to die for you. That kind of decision demands your respect. It demands your decision. And if you're a Christian, you made that decision. Are you living the kind of life that we've talked about today? If not, let's get going. It's up to you to put Him in your life. You worship Him. The other person I'm talking to is someone that's never done that before. Oh, you might have heard the words before. You kind of know about God and all that stuff. But you've never come to the place where you said, I will trust You fully. I understand that I'm a sinful person, I'm a wicked man, wicked woman, and I cannot reach God. I can't, unless someone else paid the penalty for me. And that is found in the man, in the God-man, Jesus Christ, who died for our sins. How do I start this walk with God? You confess your sins. You say, man, up to this point, I see that the wickedness I've done has separated me from God. And I accept the forgiveness that Jesus gives me by His death. And I want to come before God and start this walk, this relationship, this union with my Creator. By the way, there's nothing else. That's it. You make the decision to follow Jesus. How is that? Doesn't seem that hard, does it? But it's a heart decision. You must in your heart say, I will follow Him. Every head bowed and every eye closed. We're going to enter into a time of decision. We call it an invitation. I don't know what God has sent in your lives over the last little bit to cause you to be here this morning, but for some reason you're here this morning, and for some reason you needed to hear this message. I'm going to ask that God, in His Spirit, would touch you, remind you of what you're supposed to be doing about this decision. Father, I ask that you would show yourself mighty in this place this morning. This is your church. We're your believers. We're your followers. So, Father, do with us as you will. We trust you, and we ask that you would guide us and direct us. There's also a lot of movement from the enemy this morning. Devil, I bind you from this place. You have no place here. You are to leave and go away. By the blood of Christ that was shed for our iniquities, for our sin, you are bound. Now, Spirit, have your way. Father, this time of invitation is yours. I know that you're talking to people right now in their hearts. Ask that you would be guiding us, leading us towards you. Father, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.